Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Thanks for sticking around here on At Your Service. We always appreciate it. I also want to mention, if you ever want to reach out to me, just this week, I got several emails from listeners at my law firm email address, and I always respond, but I always appreciate listener feedback. If you want to send me an email, I even check it during the show, my email address, byoung, that's B-Y-O-U-N-G, at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S, as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L.com. Love to hear from you. Today, I always like to talk about what day it is. Every day is some national something day. And today is National International Women's Day. And I don't understand what it is you're supposed to celebrate. I mean, isn't every woman an international woman from someone's perspective? I mean, if you're a woman in the United States, to Ireland, you are an international woman. So why do we have to say International Women's Day? Just make it National Women's Day. I don't understand why we have to put a tag on it. And how are you supposed to celebrate it? I cooked dinner for my wife tonight. That's how we celebrated International Women's Day. And, my wife's from Florissant, so it's not like an international made a difference, but you can celebrate it any way that you wish. I did get a text from a good friend of mine, Vic Avellino, today. He's a very proud Italian-American, and his comments were, you have to celebrate International Women's Day by honoring Italian women. And I don't know if that he meant his mother, or his wife or someone else, or maybe he would just want you to go out and watch The Godfather, because that's, of course, full of Italians. I don't know. I'll have to check with Vic tomorrow and see. But the other thing that's coming up around the corner is we've got daylight savings time coming up this Sunday. And I wanted to bring in producer extraordinaire Matt Pajeski to talk about this. Hey, Matt, do you care one way or the other about this whole spring forward, fall back, daylight savings time?
You know, I hate losing that hour of sleep coming up soon, but if it gets us more sunlight in the day, I'm all for it.
So if you look at it like a contract, okay, if you're going to have somebody mow your yard, this is your classic contracts 101 situation. I'll pay you $50 to mow my yard. You're getting something for something. So if you look at this as an equation, you're losing 1 hour of sleep in exchange for an additional hour of daylight for the entire summer and early fall. Is that a good contract from Matt Pajeski's perspective?
It is a good contract. I'd like to keep it that way, too. Once we spring forward, I'm all for staying on that time throughout the entire year.
Well, most people are that way, too. I did see that 61% of Americans in a recent poll said, let's stop changing it. Just leave it at daylight savings time and leave it that way year-round.
Wasn't it created to give the farmers more daylight to harvest crops? Are we still using it for that reason, or are we past that now?
Well, it's not like we're an agrarian economy any longer, which I always look for ways to work agrarian into a conversation because it's just a cool word.
Yeah.
But no, I think the biggest reason now, every time this debate comes up, I've heard this argument debated 1,000 times, and the debate now is always this. If you left it at daylight savings time all year round, then when kids get on the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning, they're going to be standing in the dark. And so they pitch it as a health and safety that kids shouldn't be standing at bus stops in the dark. And of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is there's this thing, it's an invention called a flashlight. I mean, give your kid a flashlight. He or she will enjoy goofing around with the flashlight. It won't bother your kids to stand on the corner, but that's the whole reason. Do you think that's a good enough reason to nix the whole benefit just because kids are standing in line for the bus and it's dark?
I mean, not to go against the kids' safety, but I really don't know if that's a good wrap the kids in some reflective tape and tell them good luck.
Exactly. Put on that orange reflective gear that deer hunters wear. You know, give kids that. You can see it from a mile away.
Yeah.
And so in that instance, actually it would be more safe, even though it's at night, if they're glowing like the top of the Chrysler building at night, they're even going to be more safe than they would otherwise be. So I think you could make the argument that the safest thing to do is to actually institute year-round daylight savings.
Yeah, let's do this. I'm all for it, Brad. Let's get some signatures.
Let's go. Get a petition going here. But one of the things is, and I know we're coming up on a break here, approximately 13% of Americans say that this disruption of time twice a year has a major disruption on their health. Does that ever impact you in any way?
Losing that hour of sleep does kind of bum me out the next day, but you know, after another day, I'm back on track.
Exactly.
I don't lose sleep over it. I guess I do lose sleep over it, but it doesn't affect my health significantly at all.
Either after another day or after three Red Bulls, you're fine, right?
You're right. And I work at 4 o'clock in the evening, so it's not like I need to wake up early anyways.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wish we always have to have something to argue about. And this is one of those things. And I just wish we could just make it year round daylight savings and just be done with it. One of the things is I wanted to mention coming up after the break, we're going to talk to Robert Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation, because there's a hearing that started today on the origins of COVID. And what did our officials know? When did they know it? And the real question is, does it matter at this point? I think it does. But let's hear from Robert Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation coming up next here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Welcome back to At Your Service here on KMOX. I'm Brad Young. And as I mentioned before the break, these hearings on the origin of COVID-19 started today. And I think these hearings are incredibly, incredibly important. But to break things down for, number one, what we heard today, and number two, what we might expect to hear as these hearings progress, is Robert Moffitt. He's a senior fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation. Robert, thanks for joining us this evening here on KMOX St. Louis.
Brad, it's a pleasure, and you are right. This is one of the most important set of hearings that Americans will have, maybe in our generation.
Yeah, and I just looked at the numbers today. Worldwide, COVID killed 7 million people across the globe, more than a million people in the United States. And so far, up to very recently, everyone was just kind of shrugging their shoulders about this isn't important. But from your perspective, not just because of the casualty count, but why should people care about finding out the origins of COVID and also how our government responded once COVID became known?
Well, I mean, the big point is that there are a couple of big points, but the point that was made by a number of the witnesses today before the House Oversight Committee is that if we do not know how this type of virus, it's a novel coronavirus, meaning we've never seen anything like this before. If we don't know exactly how this virus was developed and how it emerged, we will not be able to prepare as well for the next pandemic. because we've got to be able to identify these things to make a determination about whether they are emerging in nature or they are the product of a laboratory engineering project, perhaps a military project.
Hmm. Yeah, and one of the witnesses, Dr. Robert Redfield, former CDC director, he testified today, and I'm quoting, this is what he said, and I want to get your take on this. We're talking, of course, to Robert Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation. Here's what Dr. Robert Redfield said, quote, in September of 2019, three things happened in that lab, talking about the lab in Wuhan. One is that they deleted the sequences. Second thing they did was that they changed the command and control from civilian control to military control. And the third thing they did, which is they let contractors redo the ventilation system in the laboratory to change how air was circulated, unquote. I mean, don't you think that that in of itself is all is bombshell significant information?
Yes, it's not exactly a smoking gun. But the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. And that is, in fact, why the Department of Energy and the Federal Bureau of Investigation have taken the position now, officially, that this was probably the a lab leak. They were working on something very, very significant. The fact that the People's Liberation Army of China had seized control of the lab immediately indicates that there was something more here than a civilian science project.
Oh, exactly. And are you concerned, Robert, that the political left in this country attempted to either deny or just outright hide the origins of COVID-19? Does that bother you? I mean, both from a personal level, but also from a policy level.
Well, on a personal level, obviously, but on a policy level, we're playing with fire here. I think the big story here today is we've had a very significant hearing with people testifying under oath, meaning that if, in fact, they do not tell the truth in a congressional hearing, they are subject to criminal penalties. I can't imagine something of more gravity for ordinary Americans than a hearing like this, and maybe the other hearings that are going to follow, because this affects every human being. Well, in this particular case, this investigation actually affects every human being on the planet.
Yes,
okay?
Of course it does.
But the other matter here that is really serious is that if, in fact, this was a laboratory engineered project where they where the Chinese developed a novel coronavirus, what was the purpose of it? Was there any kind? Now, this is a speculation. But was there any relationship between what they were doing in that lab and Chinese military biomedical or biological warfare projects? That is critical because it will indicate to us exactly the danger that we may in fact be dealing with.
Well, you're exactly right. Robert Moffitt is the senior fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation, and I want to shift topics here just for a second on a related topic, but one of the problems and one of the things that I've spoken about right here on Camo X consistently over time, I'm an attorney during the day, and one of the things that's bothered me is this squelching of free speech that's been occurring on social media in so many areas. But don't you find it interesting that folks, even myself, I was kicked off of YouTube for an interview that I did on the radio whenever I suggested that this virus may come from a lab in Wuhan. I got kicked off of YouTube for that. And to me, the question is that isn't it troublesome that social media companies were censoring speech that they thought was false, and now it's becoming the prevalent theory and even the primary theory of branches of our government?
Well, I mean, if they were consistent, they would censor the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Energy, and the State Department.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, because while your listeners are listening to this, I have to reveal something which I mentioned in the essay I did for the Heritage Foundation, but the significance of this cannot be underestimated. When Fauci and Collins, Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH, were doing everything they possibly could in February and March to develop the argument, the narrative, that this coronavirus could not have been the product of a lab leak. When they were developing this and they were condemning any member of the scientific community or any member of the political community of promoting a conspiracy theory, in April of 2020, State Department personnel independently did an investigation of the Wuhan lab situation, and they came to the conclusion that the circumstantial evidence pointed to a lab leak. In other words, in April of 2020, when Collins was telling Fauci that they had to find some way to put down this very destructive conspiracy, State Department officials were telling, were reporting clearly. They must have been reporting to Secretary Pompeo.
Sure.
The point is that they were arriving at a very different conclusion at roughly the same time. Now, given the gravity of the subject, was the White House, was the president made aware of these assessments by the career civil servants at the State Department? I mean, this is really important mm-hmm. stuff.
It is, but can you answer a question for me that sure. I've been struggling with? And that is, as I look at this, I can see from a scientific perspective in early 2020, I could see Dr. Fauci or others saying, well, we don't really have enough data right now to make a determination one way or the other. We're going to focus right now on combating the spread of the virus by developing a vaccine for the virus. And once right. we have more information, we'll figure out how it got started. But that wasn't what happened. We had Dr. Fauci no. actively and with a militant fervor going against anyone who espoused the possibility that it could come from a lab. My question is, why would Fauci and why would others at the CDC be so militantly against the possibility that it came from a lab?
That, to me, is actually the ultimate mystery. You know, and they were fervently pushing this position, right, in the face of a shutdown of any information coming out of communist China concerning the coronavirus, a shutdown that the communist Chinese imposed literally on January 3rd, 2020. So how could they be morally certain that this deadly pandemic was not the product of a lab leak?
Yes.
They had absolutely no in their possession. They had nothing in their possession that was scientifically verifiable. Serious evidence. You, as a lawyer, you understand what serious evidence is.
Yes, I do.
Since January 2020, they had never any verifiable evidence to the contrary to support with such fervor a conclusion that made sense in terms of common sense to other people, including State Department officials and independent evolutionary virologists, including some of the early scientists who they conferred with, like Christian Anderson at the Scripps Howard, at the Scripps Research Center in California, and even Jeremy Farrar, who was a British virologist who conferred with Fauci and Collins, who is now being considered as the medical director for the World Health Organization, believe it or not.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm just telling you. That's why, you know, I thank God that the Republicans were able to get control of this subcommittee and have subpoena power, because they have got to probe deep. And as a lawyer, you understand this probably better than most. They got to probe deep, and they've got to be thorough. And frankly,
yes.
The next thing they need to do is to bring up under oath the Department of Energy analysts and the Federal Bureau of Investigation analyst and the State Department analyst to testify under oath if necessary in executive session, because there's no doubt here that we're dealing with high level intelligence.
Sure. Methods and absolutely.
Not to do this. Well, this is not a question of whether they should do it. They must
do it. And you wrote an excellent piece. That's why I'm talking to Robert Moffitt, who's a senior fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation, because he wrote an amazing article laying all this information out with the Heritage Foundation at thedailysignal.com. You need to check this out because it is fantastic in terms of the information contained in this story. Robert, as these hearings progress, should the hearings also deal with how the communist Chinese government used money and power and influence to block any attempt to investigate the origins of COVID, whether it's through the World Health Organization or any other medical groups on the planet? They've blocked it. Should that also be a focus here?
Oh, it should be a focus. And I think if I were, you know, if we had the right White House, the first thing that we would do is we would collaborate with British intelligence, MI6, and also French intelligence and Israeli intelligence, Mossad, to put our efforts together to do the kind of deep intelligence work that's required to actually get at this. One of the things that Dr. Redfield said today in front of the House of Representatives hearing was that, you know, he made the point that on a scientific basis, this may be very difficult to prove one way or the other. In other words, scientifically, there is, as you know, and as I pointed out in the article that you referenced, there is a real division among the scientists on this from the standpoint of what we know scientifically, okay? And in peer-reviewed journals, I've read them both, you know, on both sides. In peer-reviewed journals, you have first-class scientists coming to very, very different conclusions on this. Nevertheless, if that's the case, as Redfield pointed out, the answer will not be resolved, you know, through scientific investigation. It will have to be resolved through intelligence. It's going to have to be resolved through intelligence work on the part of the CIA and others. Congressional investigators, you know, should be prepared to summon very credible Chinese defectors. They're out there. To testify, probably in executive session.
Absolutely.
I think they also, and I think what the Congress has to do, and I don't know if they've done it or they're doing it, hopefully they will do it, it is really critical for the House of Representatives to enlist the crucial assistance of scientists who specialize in the field of evolutionary virology. Because as you know, from your own experience as a lawyer, sometimes if you put evidence in front of people that is somewhat complex and novel, they do not necessarily know what they're looking at. And that is certainly the truth, certainly the case with most ordinary lay people who are dealing with a very, very complex issue like molecular biology. Okay?
Absolutely. Good point.
I mean, I have stressed this, by the way, privately to the senior congressional investigative staff, that they should enlist the crucial assistance of those kinds of scientists in order to help them to basically be able to come to some satisfactory conclusion where they're at least personally and professionally satisfied that they have done the very best job that they can do.
I hope they follow your advice. We're talking to Robert Moffitt, a senior fellow in domestic policy studies at the Heritage Foundation. And Robert, last question. Senator
Sure.
Rand Paul, he was ridiculed. He's a physician, by the way, but he was ridiculed by the mainstream media over the past 2 years plus for raising concerns about something called gain of function. Can you explain what is gain of function and why is it important for the congressional hearings to look into this as well?
Well, because unfortunately, there's a second, there's a twin sister controversy to the whole origins question, and that is, to what degree did American taxpayers inadvertently contribute to the development of this deadly virus? We know that, you know, since for several years, going back to 2014, the National Institutes of Health awarded a company called EcoHealth, a research firm, EcoHealth, $3.7 million in grants to study bat coronaviruses. In 2016, EcoHealth fell out of compliance with the terms of the grant that they had gotten from Dr. Fauci's organization, the NIH, and they failed to file timely reports when they were supposed to on what they were doing with these experiments. When they did file the report, it was clear that EcoHealth was in collaboration with the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology was engaged in what is called gain-of-function research. Now, gain-of-function research, so, you know, it sounds strange, but what gain-of-function research is, it's basically a type of research that engineers or modifies or enhances a pathogen or a biological agent in such a way that it confers enhanced power for that pathogen to be more transmissible and to be more lethal. So it's fundamentally dangerous stuff. It's the kind of stuff that you would find in a James Bond movie.
Okay? Absolutely.
All right. So the lab work, in other words, would create a more virulent strain of the virus. Now, the argument is that this is what we know. We know that, you know, and we found this out from the State Department, frankly, back in April of 2020. We know that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had a staffer on board, Dr. Xi Zheng Li, who was involved very heavily in gain-of-function research. We also know that she was being partially funded from the EcoHealth Alliance that had been receiving millions of dollars from the National Institutes of Health. What we don't know is the degree to which that money contributed to gain-of-function research that perhaps, again, we can't prove this from what we know, but perhaps contributed to the coronavirus that we have come to know and hate as SARS-CoV-2.
Will these hearings get into this area so we can get some indication about whether we, our taxpayers' dollars, went to partially fund what turned out to be one of the worst global pandemics of all time?
Well, it would be a gross dereliction of duty on the part of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Congressman Comer of Kentucky and Congressman Wenstrup of Ohio if, in fact, they did not do that. And I think they are going to do that. I'm quite sure that as we speak, there is a ton of congressional staff work that is being done right now. And, you know, and if necessary, they were going to have to prepare subpoenas. Now, of course, you know, Anthony Fauci is no longer in the government, but that doesn't make any difference. As you know, counselor, subpoenas can follow you home.
Yeah, and on vacation. They can follow you just about anywhere.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, so, now, the issue here is with regard to EcoHealth Alliance, they've got a bad record so far. And so, you know, they failed to report on a critical experiment. We know from that critical experiment that they were involved in an experiment in which they were testing proteins in naturally occurring bat coronaviruses that were capable of binding to human, what they call ACE2 receptor cells in a mouse model. And in that particular case, the mice got sicker than the mice that were infected with a normal coronavirus, the bat coronavirus. Anyway, it's kind of, you know, we're getting into, you know, areas that, frankly, I don't have any expertise in.
Right. It does get very deep. But your point is that this needs to be an area of inquiry to find out if our taxpayer dollars went to possibly fund the origins of COVID-19.
That is exactly correct. And what Senator Paul has actually made a decision on his own. Senator Paul believes that Anthony Fauci Anthony Fauci was not truthful in his testimony before the Senate last year. Let me put it this way. I think, and I think you would agree, I think we have to have him go again.
Yes. In order to answer some of those questions. Hey, Robert, we're going to have to wrap this up because we went over and we went beyond where I needed to go. But you are such an excellent expert on this that I wanted to get as much information here as we could. If folks want to continue to follow what you write on this and other subjects, how can they do that?
You just go to heritage.org, that's the Heritage website. And if you do that, and if you want to look at the essays that I've done, you just simply write, you can Google it, Robert Moffitt, M-O-F-F-I-T, the Heritage Foundation.
I will be reaching out to you again, sir, and probably in the near future as this develops, because you have your finger on the pulse of this issue, and I appreciate you joining us this evening here on KMOX.
Well, it's a pleasure, Brad, and I think it's vitally important that we hold the feet to the fire of our elected officials to make sure that they follow through on what they promised they would do. I mean, Jim Jordan, as I said, Kevin McCarthy, Congressman Comer, Congressman Wenstrup, they have a huge responsibility. And frankly, as far as I'm concerned, I think what ordinary Americans ought to do is like cheerleaders on the sideline, cheer them on and yell and support them as loud as you can.
Well, I'm doing that with 50,000 red hot watts here on KMOX. Mr. Robert Moffitt, thanks again for joining us here on KMOX.
Okay, Brad, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Hey, we're going to take a break, but we're also going to open the phone lines. What do you think about these hearings? What do you want these hearings to reveal? And do you think it's important to know where this virus came from? 314-436-7900 on KMOX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. We're talking about COVID, talking about the origins of COVID, about the hearings that are going on Capitol Hill. And do you think it's important? What would you like to know about COVID that you don't currently know? I mean, that's the whole point of a hearing, is to obtain information, to depose witnesses or to have them testify live, to review and subpoena documents, and to find out information that's needed to reach a conclusion about something. That's the point of a hearing. What would you like to hear from the COVID hearings that are going on starting today right on Capitol Hill? Let's go to the phone lines, and David's been holding. Hey, David, welcome to KMOX.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, you're on. Welcome to KMOX.
Okay. All right. There's usually the sound when it happens. But anyway, I'd like to have a good question put to their president over there. Well, the king, I call him, but in the communist country, why did he knew about this stuff, as far as I know, it goes up all the way back into 2019, of October 2019, maybe even earlier, but he blocked off everybody from Wuhan from coming into Beijing and other places, but he let them fly around all over the world. And in fact, they sent them out to all throughout Europe, throughout here in the United States. He spread it around deliberately. It had to be deliberately. And maybe he was thinking it wasn't, he might say, well, we didn't know it was bad. Well, then why'd you block it off in Beijing? You know?
Yeah. Well, part of the thing going on, David, is we just didn't know how to react to this kind of a situation. We were literally writing the playbook for this as it was happening, because at least since, oh my goodness, in however many decades you want to go back in time, we haven't had a global pandemic that spread so quickly and amassed victims so quickly compared to COVID. We just never experienced it. So to some extent, again, we were writing the playbook as we were experiencing it.
Well, yeah, but it happened 100 years ago, you know.
Right, but 100 years ago, we didn't have planes. 100 years ago, we didn't have the kind of mobile populace in the world that moves around so quickly now. So that completely changes the equation. There's a great Tom Clancy book that I read, oh my goodness, 20 years ago about an extremist group, a terrorist group that was going to infect the planet with a virus. And they were going to infect people at the Olympics so that they would go home to their home countries and spread the virus. I mean, this was the stuff of novels until we actually experienced it.
Yeah, I understand. But the question I would put to him is that, how would you answer this? He knows it's bad. And he says, you can't come to Beijing, but you can go around the rest of the world. What's the answer to that is the question.
Yeah, well, I hope the hearings get to that, David. I'm going to be listening for your question to be answered as these hearings progress. But thanks for calling this evening here on KMOX.
All right. Thank you, sir. I love your show, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Hey, we've got some other calls on hold. We've got to take a break here because Matt Pajeski costs a lot of money. So we've got to take a break here to pay his salary. KMOX, at your service. We'll be back right after this. We're talking COVID tonight. Thankfully, we're not talking about closures or forced vaccinations or school cancellations or any of that stuff. Thankfully, that's all behind us. But we're talking now about the hearings and what you would like to hear from these hearings. What do you want to know about COVID that you don't already know? Patrick's been holding for a while. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. I was curious. Well, when COVID first hit, I heard a story somewhere, I don't know the source, that said Dr. Fauci has multiple patents on multiple strains of protein associated with a coronavirus. So what I'd like to know is if it's true and if Fauci had a conflict of interest from the get-go.
You know, that's a great question. And that was actually raised by many people, even when Fauci testified on Capitol Hill last year, because that would explain, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not trying to spread a rumor because I don't know the truth of it. But there is a legitimate question here, Patrick, that you've raised, is that was Dr. Fauci enriched to some extent by having patents on different coronaviruses and how they may have been used during the gain of function research in Wuhan? That's an excellent question. Excellent question. And I'm certain that if Rand Paul has anything to do with influencing any of these hearings, of course, he's in the Senate and these are in the House, but one has to hope that he has an influence, because if he does, I think we'll get answers to those questions.
Right. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling in this evening. I thought, and I mentioned this to my wife, literally the first moment that I heard about the coronavirus at the very end of 2019 or maybe early January of 2020, because I've read a lot over the years about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And when you see this coronavirus that no one's seen before, that no one's experienced before, you don't know where it started, but it was literally the first patient to have it was two blocks from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It just makes sense that that could be a cause of this. To exclude that is to exclude the obvious. And in the next hour, one of the things I'm going to be breaking down, and you may say, wait, Brad, that has nothing to do with COVID. I'm going to be breaking down the Alec Murdoch guilty verdict. And, of course, he got sentenced at the end of last week. But, hey.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow!
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in this evening. We're talking about COVID. Talking about the origins of COVID, about the hearings that are going on Capitol Hill, and do you think it's important? What would you like to know about COVID that you don't currently know? I mean, that's the whole point of a hearing, is to obtain information, to depose witnesses or to have them testify live, to review and subpoena documents, and to find out information that's needed to reach a conclusion about something. That's the point of a hearing. What would you like to hear from the COVID hearings that are going on starting today right on Capitol Hill? Let's go to the phone lines, and David's been holding. Hey, David, welcome to KMOX.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, you're on. Welcome to KMOX.
Okay. All right. There's usually the sound when it happens. But anyway, now, I'd like to have a good question put to their president over there. Well, the king, I call him, but in the communist country, why did he knew about this stuff, as far as I know, it goes up all the way back into 2019, of October 2019, maybe even earlier, but he blocked off everybody from Wuhan coming into Beijing and other places, but he let them fly around all over the world. And in fact, they sent them out to all throughout Europe, throughout here in the United States. He spread it around deliberately. It had to be deliberately. And maybe he was thinking it wasn't, he might say, well, we didn't know it was bad. Well, then why'd you block it off in Beijing? You know?
Yeah. Well, part of the thing going on, David, is we just didn't know how to react to this kind of a situation. We were literally writing the playbook for this as it was happening, because at least since, my goodness, in however many decades you want to go back in time, we haven't had a global pandemic that spread so quickly and amassed victims so quickly compared to COVID. We just never experienced it. So to some extent, again, we were writing the playbook as we were experiencing it.
Well, yeah, but that was, it happened 100 years ago, you know.
Right, but 100 years ago, we didn't have planes. 100 years ago, we didn't have the kind of mobile populace in the world that moves around so quickly now. So that completely changes the equation. There's a great Tom Clancy book that I read, oh my goodness, 20 years ago, about an extremist group, a terrorist group that was going to infect the planet with a virus, and they were going to infect people at the Olympics so that they would go home to their home countries and spread the virus. I mean, this was the stuff of novels until we actually experienced it.
Yeah, I understand, but the question I would put to him is that, how would you answer this? He knows it's bad.
And he says, you can't come to Beijing, but you can go around the rest of the world. What's the answer to that is a question.
Yeah, well, I hope the hearings get to that, David. I'm going to be listening for your question to be answered as these hearings progress. But thanks for calling this evening here on Camel X.
All right. Thank you, sir. I love your show, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thank you. Hey, we've got some other calls on hold. We've got to take a break here because Matt Pajeski costs a lot of money. So we've got to take a break here to pay his salary. Camo X, at your service. We'll be back right after this. We're talking COVID tonight. Thankfully, we're not talking about closures or forced vaccinations or school cancellations or any of that stuff. Thankfully, that's all behind us. But we're talking now about the hearings and what you would like to hear from these hearings. What do you want to know about COVID that you don't already know? Patrick's been holding for a while. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. I was curious. Well, when COVID first hit, I heard a story somewhere, I don't know the source, that said Dr. Fauci has multiple patents on multiple strains of protein associated with a coronavirus. So what I'd like to know is if it's true and if Fauci had a conflict of interest from the get-go.
You know, that's a great question. And that was actually raised by many people, even when Fauci testified on Capitol Hill last year, because that would explain, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not trying to spread a rumor because I don't know the truth of it. But there is a legitimate question here, Patrick, that you've raised, is that was Dr. Fauci enriched to some extent by having patents on different coronaviruses and how they may have been used during the gain of function research in Wuhan? That's an excellent question. Excellent question. And I'm certain that if Rand Paul has anything to do with influencing any of these hearings, of course, he's in the Senate and these are in the House, but one has to hope that he has an influence, because if he does, I think we'll get answers to those questions.
Right. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling in this evening. I thought, and I mentioned this to my wife, literally the first moment that I heard about the coronavirus at the end of very end of 2019 or maybe early January of 2020, because I've read a lot over the years about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And when you see this coronavirus that no one's seen before, that no one's experienced before, you don't know where it started, but it was literally the first patient to have it was two blocks from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It just makes sense that that could be a cause of this. To exclude that is to exclude the obvious. And in the next hour, one of the things I'm going to be breaking down, and you may say, wait, Brad, that has nothing to do with COVID. I'm going to be breaking down the Alex Murdoch guilty verdict. And, of course, he got sentenced at the end of last week. But, hey, this is the first time I've been on since then. But I want to break down some of the evidence that I think is utterly fascinating. But here's how it ties in with COVID. If you look at the evidence that convicted Alex Murdoch, the attorney in South Carolina, there was no witness to the crime. There was no evidence that tied him to the crime in terms of bloody fingerprints, in terms of clothing that had blood on them. None of that traditional evidence. So it was all what's called circumstantial evidence. That's a term that many times is used to say, well, it's only circumstantial evidence. It's not direct evidence. But at some point during the case of a trial, when the circumstantial evidence becomes so overwhelming, like we saw in the Alex Murdoch case, the guilt or the presumption of guilt becomes proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And so in this instance, we're never going to have in COVID, we're never going to have some guy that testifies, yes, I was the guy. I put something in my lunchbox at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and I walked out, and a bat swooped in and ate my lunch, and it was in my lunch. You're not going to get any direct evidence like that. But if there is enough circumstantial evidence, like some of the things I mentioned, that immediately the sequences, the evidence of the research that was going on in Wuhan was deleted, in September of 2019 that the military swings in and takes control of the entire unit. And the first thing the military does is bring in a contractor to completely alter all the ventilation systems in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That's all circumstantial evidence. But just like the circumstantial evidence that was so overwhelming that the jury in the Alec Murdoch case was only out for 3 hours. And at least according to some of the testimony from the jury members, they made a decision in less than an hour. That circumstantial evidence can reach a verdict, and it can do so here with COVID in the same way. We just have to get to the bottom of it. Hey, we're going to talk about that Alec Murdoch case in the next hour. Also, phone lines are going to be open all next hour. No, we don't have any interviews for that. And I want to hear from you. That's what AM radio is all about, hearing from you. Brad Young here on KMOX. We'll be back right after the top of the hour. We're talking COVID tonight. Thankfully, we're not talking about closures or forced vaccinations or school cancellations or any of that stuff. Thankfully, that's all behind us. But we're talking now about the hearings and what you would like to hear from these hearings. What do you want to know about COVID that you don't already know? Patrick's been holding for a while. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brad. I was curious. Well, when COVID first hit, I heard a story somewhere, I don't know the source, that said Dr. Fauci has multiple patents on multiple strains of protein associated with a coronavirus. So what I'd like to know is if it's true and if Fauci had a conflict of interest from the get-go.
You know, that's a great question. And that was actually raised by many people, even when Fauci testified on Capitol Hill last year, because that would explain, again, I don't know if it's true or not. I'm not trying to spread a rumor because I don't know the truth of it. But there is a legitimate question here, Patrick, that you've raised, is that was Dr. Fauci enriched to some extent by having patents on different coronaviruses and how they may have been used during the gain-of-function research in Wuhan? That's an excellent question. Excellent question. And I'm certain that if Rand Paul has anything to do with influencing any of these hearings, of course, he's in the Senate and these are in the House, but one has to hope that he has an influence, because if he does, I think we'll get answers to those questions.
Right. Thank you, Brad.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling in this evening. I thought, and I mentioned this to my wife, literally the first moment that I heard about the coronavirus at the very end of 2019 or maybe early January of 2020, because I've read a lot over the years about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And when you see this coronavirus that no one's seen before, that no one's experienced before, you don't know where it started, but it was literally the first patient to have it was two blocks from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It just makes sense that that could be a cause of this. I mean, to exclude that is to exclude the obvious. And in the next hour, one of the things I'm going to be breaking down, and you may say, wait, Brad, that has nothing to do with COVID. I'm going to be breaking down the Alec Murdoch guilty verdict. And, of course, he got sentenced at the end of last week. But, hey, this is the first time I've been on since then. But I want to break down some of the evidence that I think is utterly fascinating. But here's how it ties in with COVID. If you look at the evidence that convicted Alec Murdoch, the attorney in South Carolina, there was no witness to the crime. There was no evidence that tied him to the crime in terms of bloody fingerprints, in terms of clothing that had blood on them. None of that traditional evidence. So it was all what's called circumstantial evidence. That's a term that many times is used to say, well, it's only circumstantial evidence. It's not direct evidence. But at some point during the case of a trial, when the circumstantial evidence becomes so overwhelming, like we saw in the Alex Murdoch case, the guilt or the presumption of guilt becomes proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And so in this instance, we're never going to have in COVID, we're never going to have some guy that testifies, Yes, I was the guy. I put something in my lunchbox at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and I walked out, and a bat swooped in and ate my lunch, and it was in my lunch. You're not going to get any direct evidence like that. But if there is enough circumstantial evidence, like some of the things I mentioned, that immediately the sequences, the evidence of the research that was going on in Wuhan was deleted in September of 2019, that the military swings in and takes control of the entire unit, and the first thing the military does is bring in a contractor to completely alter all the ventilation systems in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. That's all circumstantial evidence. But just like the circumstantial evidence that was so overwhelming that the jury in the Alec Murdoch case was only out for 3 hours, and at least according to some of the testimony from the jury members, they made a decision in less than an hour. That circumstantial evidence can reach a verdict, and it can do so here with COVID in the same way. We just have to get to the bottom of it. Hey, we're going to talk about that Alec Murdoch case in the next hour. Also, phone lines are going to be open all next hour. No, we don't have any interviews for that. And I want to hear from you. That's what AM radio is all about, hearing from you. Brad Young here on KMOX. We'll be back right after the top of the hour.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.